on today's Run to the Top podcast.
The first two loops are 8 miles, and the last loop has a little 2 mile addition onto it. So you're experiencing these elevation changes essentially three times. They're subtle. So it's the kind of course that's going to creep up on you. It's going to beat you up a little bit. It's honest, and we'll see a true race rather than a time trial.
Welcome to the Run to the Top podcast from Runners Connect, where it's all about learning from the best and most inspiring minds in the sport. Together, we can train a smarter, healthier, and faster running community. Now here's your host, Stephanie K. Atwood.
Welcome. This is Stephanie K. Atwood, Boston Marathon qualifier, coach, and host for the Run to the Top podcast. In 2020, the Atlanta Track Club will host the Olympic Marathon Trials. This is a huge honor and a big responsibility. Today on Run to the Top, we will talk with Rich Kenna, Executive Director of the ATC, who will share some of the history of the club, his own history as a high-level competitive runner, and details, lots of details, about the Olympic Marathon Trials held in Atlanta coming up in February 2020. We'll be talking about who will be there, how they qualified for the trials, course details, tickets, volunteering, who qualifies for the actual Olympics, and more. Thanks for joining us today, Rich.
Thanks for having me, Stephanie.
We are going to start with our four basic questions. When did you start running? Where were you born? Where do you live now? And what is a favorite personal running success story?
So I was born in Montclair, New Jersey. And, well, I ran my first race at the age of six. So maybe I'll tie those two together.
Okay.
And race at the age of six, and then ultimately made the Olympic team at the age of 30.
Wow.
Both my first running experience at the age of six, where I finished last in a road race.
Uh-huh.
And then my essentially last major championship, the Olympics, really are the things that stand out. And sort of the journey in between the two.
Yeah. Wow. And you said you were 30 when you were in the Olympics?
Yes, I was.
Yeah. And six when you started running. So that first experience, what do you remember about that?
Well, I traveled to this road race. It was the Newark Distance Classic in Newark, New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
And I went with my father and a cousin, and I had never trained before. Obviously, I'd never run in a race before, but it was just something to do with family.
Yeah.
And I was so far, I was last. I was so far back last that my father had to flag down a police car and drive around to find me.
Oh, gosh.
So while it was fun and certainly a memory that I will forever have, it was, it was not the positive success story that you might think, like, hey, I'm good at this.
Yeah. Well, 6 years old, and you said it was a 10K. That's quite and no training. That's quite an undertaking.
It was a 4 mile, but I agree with where you were going. I'm not sure that a 6 year old had much business running a 4 mile.
Anyway, it's good that you were doing stuff with family, and it seems like that didn't deter you from getting into running a little more seriously. So tell us a bit about your running background before we get into the Atlanta Track Club and the marathon trials.
So as I said, I'm a lifelong runner, and having experienced the sport at every level from age group track and field to road races as a young kid, where I would travel around to races with my dad, to high school running, to having the good fortune to compete at Georgetown University during my time there. And then 10 years after as an aspiring Olympic athlete, it's been a great journey. And then professionally, since I retired in 2001, I've worked as an agent, as a manager for Olympic level athletes and in televised track and field. And then for almost the last 6 years now here as the executive director at Atlanta Track Club.
And you were on the podium a few times. I think you were on the top level on the podium even. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Sure. I feel as if I've missed the podium more than I've missed the podium, but I've had some flashes of success. So I won the Golden West Championships as a high schooler at that time. That was the de facto national championships, I guess, in 800 meters. And then I was an NCAA champion And then at the international level, I won two bronze medals at the World Championships in 1997, the World Indoor Championships in Paris, and then the World Outdoor Championships in Athens, Greece.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Let's talk a little bit about the Atlanta Track Club and its history. This club has been around for a long time, but you let me know that it didn't actually start with the Peachtree Race, which is, of course, what everybody thinks of when they hear Atlanta Track Club.
That's correct. So we're known, best known, I should say, for the AJC Peachtree Road Race, but we do quite a lot more. And we were founded roughly 6 years before the Peachtree was created. We were founded in 1964. We're a nonprofit with a mission of impacting health and wellness through running and walking. And we were born around high school track and field and cross country. So recognizing and spotlighting and honoring the best high school track and field and cross country runners here in the Atlanta metro area. And over that 55 year history, we've grown significantly. So we're best known for the Peachtree, but we do 40 events and programs a year, have about 34,000 dues paying members, have about 32, 33 staffers. We could not do what we do without volunteers. We fill about 10,000 volunteer positions every year. And again, we're most focused on helping Atlanta be one of the healthiest cities in the United States as a result of aerobic fitness, meaning running and walking.
I've been in Atlanta. I haven't ever run there. It gets so hot and humid that I think I'm going to try and I want to try to come for the Olympic marathon trials because at least theoretically it should be cooler then, right?
Yes, we hope we'll be cool. We are known for our heat and humidity around the Peach because it is the Southeast during summer. But the forecasts, the average forecast or the average weather for February 29th, and that's the date of the U.S. Olympic trials and the marathon, is 41 on the low and 60 on the high. So we'll the weather gods follow their plan.
Perfect running conditions. Now, when did you become the executive director? You said, I think you've been there 6 years. And then what is your role as executive director?
I arrived here in February of 2014. And our structure here is, so I'm the executive director. I manage the day-to-day in terms of our progress against our mission. And I report up to our board. Currently, we have a 16-person board that has oversight of the organization.
And 34 paid staff there?
32 staff, 34 members.
Mm-hmm. And a board. Wow, that's a lot of details to keep track of. And then 40 something races. It's quite the club.
Yes, it is. It's a special place. And when I accepted the job, I didn't quite understand the culture, the running community here in Atlanta, and I find myself lucky to lead what I believed is the best running organization in the country as a result of what we try to do for the community and chasing our mission every day. And apologize for the squeakiness. That's Sydney.
Hi, Sydney. Yeah, well, that adds a little interest and kind of a sideline to the interview. Let's talk about the Olympic Marathon Trials. They're February 29, 2020. And what does a club have to do to host an event like this? And when does the planning for it start? And this is not an easy process.
Sure, it's a fairly complex process. So there's an RFP that our governing body, USA Track and Field, puts out in collaboration with the United States Olympic Committee. So that was about 2 years ago. And that's when we made the decision that we wanted to bid for these trials. And then ultimately we secured the bid. The other host, potential host cities were Orlando, Chattanooga, and Austin. And we built our bid on the theme of Olympic legacy, Olympic future. So we are an Olympic city, having hosted the games here in 1996, and very much interested in building an Olympic future here with hopefully executing the best Olympic trials marathon that we've ever had in this country.
Talk about some of the logistics of actually getting the event there, because it's, you have to follow through with a lot of things, as well as, I guess, you have to suggest things. What are some of the requirements?
So as a local organizing committee, you make the commitment, or at least we did in our bid, to handle, you know, essentially every element of a world-class championship-style marathon. So from designing the course, securing the volunteers, managing local sponsorship, working with local emergency management officials, and most importantly, providing a playing field, if you will, a competition that gives every one of those trials qualifiers an equal opportunity to chase their Olympic dream and ultimately maybe make that Olympic team by finishing in the top three. So it is a 2-year process with a focus on operations, on marketing, and on athletes each and every day.
Yeah, and then, I mean, you're still hosting 40 races a year, or something close to that, but that must be the sort of like the focus of everything else has to be around this big priority that you've chosen.
It is, and we made a conscious decision when we were awarded the trials to have a dedicated staff function. So we staffed up when USA Track and Field notified us that we were going to host these trials. So we have one dedicated person for the last 2 years who has been sort of the shepherd of all things trials for us here.
Yeah, really fascinating. Now, how do runners apply for the race? Because now we have a little bit of info on how the track or the running club gets the honor and the responsibility of putting it together. But how do runners apply for the race?
That's a good question. I should have started with that. So that's the one area where Atlanta Track Club has little to no involvement. So USA Track and Field and its LDR and its high performance committees set the standard. So to qualify for the trials, you have to hit minimum time standards. So on the women's side, that time standard is 2:45. So women need to run 2:45 or faster. And on the men's side, the qualifying is 2:19. And we were excited about the interest and the quality of the performances of the American athletes in this quadrennial, because we've seen the largest number of qualifiers for an Olympic trials that we've ever had. So that's created some operational challenges for us, but it's also given us a little bit of wind in our sails to know that that we're going to have a full field, a strong field, that has both quality and quantity of athletes to really make this something special.
And talk about some of those specific runners who have already registered and would be names that our listeners would recognize.
I hesitate to throw out a particular name for fear that someone might think that the race director has a bias, but I can say we've seen some of the fastest times and some of the deepest field. We will see the deepest field, I should say, on the women's side that we've ever had in Olympic trials. I think there was some concern on the men's side that there was not a lot of depth there about a year and a half ago. That time, we've seen some young athletes who look to be real contenders for these games. And those young athletes will face formidable competition by some of the veterans that everybody knows.
Now you're not actually responsible or you don't have control of who registers and that part of the Olympic trials, but numbers wise, how many men and how many women and total numbers, how many are running on trials day?
So you're right in that we don't control the actual registration process. The athletes work directly with our governing body, USA Track and Field, on that. It's likely that when all is said and done, we've got roughly another month until the final qualifying date happens. The total men's field will be, the total women's field will be roughly 350 to 400. Mm-hmm. And then the men will probably just to be about as well.
And the deadline to register is?
I believe the final date is January 19th.
And anyone who qualifies, who has a qualifying time in a qualifying race, is able then to register for the U.S. Olympic Marathon Trials. Is that correct?
That is correct. So this is a straight time qualifier. And all you have to do is get that qualifying done in the qualifying window, which I referenced, ends fairly soon.
Yeah, January 19th. And it goes back to when? When were the first races that they could use for qualifying?
We'll call it 18 months ago.
Okay. Yeah. So there's been a lot of time, and the runners would have known that the marathon trials were in Atlanta. And so lots of time to plan this out. And of course, the serious ones who might actually get into the Olympics rather than just having the honor of running in the marathon trials. I'm sure they've been thinking about this for at least 18 months. What do you think?
Yes, as you know, the marathon is a journey in every sense of the word. So I'm sure that the vast majority of people who have qualified and who are coming here to Atlanta have been thinking about this for a lot longer than 18 months.
Yeah, and I do think there's a field. In fact, I'd like you to talk about A and B athletes, because I know that's changed a bit for you for this upcoming race. But there must be a lot of people participating who know that they're not going to get into the Olympics, although everybody has that opportunity who's running that day. But they are running because it's such an honor to be able to run in a race like this.
Yes, you make a really good point. For the vast majority of the qualifiers, this will be their Olympic Games. So
right.
Focus is just that, to make sure that they have a truly world-class experience. With that being said, our goal is to treat everyone the same, whether you are a qualifier, meaning the faster qualifiers, or a B qualifier, the slower qualifiers. Everyone will have the same opportunity, will receive the same treatment, stay in the same hotel, have the same meals, have the same fluids program out there on the course, so that we can say this was a true championship style race where everyone had equal opportunity to punch their ticket to the Olympic Games in 2020.
I love that. Now, what does it cost for an athlete to be in the trials?
To actually come here and compete?
Yes.
That's another great question. So as part of our bid, we made the commitment to USA Track and Field and the USOC, and most importantly to the athletes, that we would cover all costs for their stay here in Atlanta. So their accommodations and their meals and their ground transportation. So all they have to do is worry about coming here and competing. And the thought process was, these are America's best, the best of the best. They're professionals and should be treated as such.
That is, it's so heartwarming, really, to hear that, because this A and B, you've kind of omitted that. You've deleted that from the thought process in the way that you're treating the athletes in Atlanta.
That's correct. So the A and the B approach has been one really rooted in practicality and expense management and probably ease of execution of the competition. And I certainly respect the way that it's been done in the past. Mm-hmm. Are very excited about sort of throwing caution to the wind in that area and saying, hey, let's treat everybody the same. Let's take on all the responsibility to make sure that these athletes all feel as if they were given ample opportunity to finish in the top three.
And this does lead to a logistical question. So you've got 350, 400 athletes running this thing, and you're doing a different kind of a start than a lot of us are used to in the way races work, with corrals and the elite runners being up in the front. How are you handling that?
So we have we expect 750 athletes in total. To your point, we'll have a few more women than we will men. We'll start essentially in two waves. Mm-hmm. Better yet, two completely different races. So we'll start just after noon on February 29th in one wave or one race. And that's a gun start time. There are no waves. And then the next race will start roughly 10 minutes later, and that'll be the women's race. And again, one single start, one gun start, so that they, again, are all racing against each other, not racing the clock.
Wow. How do you do that logistically with that many people lined up at the start line?
That's a great question. We haven't actually done it yet, so maybe we can do another conversation post race. I can tell you exactly how we do it, but lots of conversations around moving the athletes to the warm-up area, into the warming tents, out of the warming tents, back into the warm-up area, and then ultimately up to the start line. So good news is that Atlanta Track Club puts on an event called the AJC Peachtree Road Race, where we move 60,000 people from start to finish, as well as the vast majority of those people taking MARTA, our public transportation system here in Atlanta, to the start line. So we're quite used to the challenges of moving people efficiently.
I guess so. And you've got a large group of volunteers that you use for this. And I know you had a practice like a trial run, but I'm guessing that was more to check out the course than it was to see how to start people.
We did. We created an event called Road to Gold. Thought process was we wanted to do two things. One, give the qualified athletes or athletes who expected to qualify the opportunity to experience the course that they will see on February 29th. And two, we wanted to give the local running community, the city of Atlanta, the city that we call Running City USA, the opportunity to experience that same course that the Olympic level athletes will be participating on. So we did that last year and it was a success. We created a second opportunity for the qualified athletes to come back to Atlanta and to do a workout on the course. And we did that just a couple of weeks ago, where we had called 50 to 60 men and women on a Sunday morning come out and do everything from a long run to tempo to intervals on the course.
And this was mostly registered for the trials, people who had registered for the trials, or was this anybody who wanted to run that morning?
No, this was exclusively for those who have qualified for the trials.
Okay. Now, about the course, talk about the turns and the strategy. I've looked at the map, and it does look like it's got some pretty interesting turns, and it also is a repeat kind of course. So they're doing it, three times and then a slightly different fourth? Or can you describe those details?
Sure. So the course is what we like to call here in Atlanta, Atlanta Flat, which means it's not flat. We are blessed here with some interesting topography. So you'll experience, if you are a qualified athlete or you're a spectator watching on television, you'll see a good amount, a good percentage of elevation change throughout the course. So it's a what we'll call a three loop course. The first two loops are 8 miles, and the last loop has a little 2 mile addition onto it. So you're experiencing these elevation changes essentially three times. Mm-hmm. And the vast majority of these elevation changes are not dramatic. They're subtle. So it's the kind of course that's going to creep up on you. It's going to beat you up a little bit. But at the end of the day, it's honest, and we'll see a true race rather than a time trial.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And turns and that kind of thing. You said that you've got some fairly quick turns, some fairly extreme turns that people need to make.
We do, because it is a looped course. Mm-hmm. We have two locations that's sort of on the out and back where you're doing a 180 degree turn. Now we'll make that as as we can. Mm-hmm. We designed it that way so that we could eliminate other turns on the course. So lots and lots of straightaways. But there are those two 180s that you experience multiple times during the race. And I think sort of the most interesting turn, which will be potentially the most painful, the most inspiring, and maybe the most interesting. And that's the turn that will come at roughly 24 miles, 25 miles, where you go under the Olympic rings from 1996 that sit over the road on Hank Aaron Drive, just south mm-hmm. of town, and head right back past the Capitol building and to Centennial Olympic Park, where you will finish. So it'll have some real meaning for a lot of people as they dig down over those last couple miles as they chase that dream.
Wow. Best viewing points.
We designed the course so that you can see quite a lot of the action. A good portion of the course takes place on Peachtree Street, which is our main drag, our main drive here in Atlanta. So I would suggest that Peachtree will have many thousands and thousands of people watching. Coming out of residences, traveling into town to see it as part of cheer groups, high school teams, youth running clubs, corporations, and so forth. So I would point to Peachtree, and then I would say Centennial Olympic Park. That is a legacy park here in Atlanta that we celebrate each and every day. We do quite a lot of events in downtown around Centennial Olympic Park. But again, the feeling of coming across a line in Centennial Olympic Park as you qualify for the Tokyo Olympic Games will hopefully be very special for everyone.
Yeah. Well, it just sounds like a wonderful day. And I want to talk a little bit more about that day, but this is a whole weekend experience. So we're going to get into that a bit too. Do people need to buy tickets to view the Olympics? Do they need to be someplace where they actually purchase something before they can get out there to view?
No, they don't. As a matter of fact, that's the beauty of a marathon trials. That's the beauty of our mission here in Atlanta. We want the sport to be universally accessible. So no, you can pick a point on the course and go and enjoy it without having to worry about purchasing a ticket. But to your point, we have an entire weekend of activities that you can take part in. So we're calling this America's Marathon Weekend. And under that banner, we have our America's Marathon Weekend Experience, which will be a 2-day expo at the Georgia World Congress Center. And we have a large high school track and field meet called the Atlanta Relays, which will take place at Lakewood Stadium. And then, of course, we have our Olympic trials on February 29th that start at noon. But before that, we have our Publix Atlanta Kids Marathon. So we have a mile race for kids. And wow. Sunday, for those adults who want to experience their own competition that weekend, we have a 5K, a half marathon, and a marathon.
A lot of people, a lot of volunteers. Do you need more volunteers? I know you've talked about your volunteers in Atlanta so much. Tell us a bit more about the volunteering opportunities as well as the volunteers and how that works.
Sure. And again, we could not put on these trials or really sort of execute any of our 40 plus events a year without the support of a volunteer base in Atlanta. We are still looking for volunteers for the weekend. They that the key slots, the key roles for the trials day have been largely filled. We're surprised and pleased to see how quickly they were filled. But if you go to our website, AtlantaTrackClub.org, and follow the links for volunteers, you'll see what other opportunities exist to be part of the weekend.
And how about security? That's always such a huge issue. That must be a big part of the bid and a big part of the planning that goes into doing an event like this. And you're not just hosting the Olympic marathon trials. You've got a whole America's marathon weekend experience for people. That must take a lot of security.
It does. Anytime you do an event of this size, in the day and age that we live, security is a big part of the conversation, and safety and security is a focus and the primary focus, to be honest, for all of our events throughout the year. We are lucky to live and play and run and work in a city that is accustomed to putting on large sporting events in just the last couple of years, from the college football playoff championships to the Super Bowl, obviously the 1996 Olympic Games. So we work very closely with the lead security agency here in Atlanta, and that's the Atlanta Police Department, as we put our plans together. We also collaborate with other local, regional, and even national agencies to ensure that everyone has a fun and safe time.
Okay, a question that I'm trying to learn more about in all of the races that are happening around the world. Is there a wheelchair competition in your races, not on the marathon trials, but in the marathon weekend?
As part of the Publix Atlanta Marathon festivities, yes. And I would point to a particular wave that we will have on Sunday morning, March 1st. And that's the wave we call our push assist wave. And then we do that in collaboration with Kyle and Brent Pease of the Pease Foundation. And we welcome more than 100 participants in that wave, in that field, in both the half marathon and the marathon.
Can you describe how that works, the assisted? Because that's new. That's not something that's taken over in the world yet. But it seems like Georgia and Atlanta really has worked hard on this.
Sure, and I would give all credit to Kyle and Brent Pease around their efforts to provide these competitive and participatory opportunities for those who might be in a wheelchair. So basically what they do is they pair a wheelchair participant up with 2 to 3 able-bodied participants who take turns pushing that chair in either the half marathon or the marathon. And it gives sort of almost a once in a lifetime opportunity for some of those participants who are confined to a wheelchair to be part of a big city marathon.
I did interview Kyle and Brent Pease before they went into the Ironman National in Kona, and it was such an inspiring episode. And I hope that listeners might want to look that up. It's Kyle and Brent Pease, and it's about them participating in the Ironman triathlon.
Agree. They are a fun brother team to watch and to be around, but to your point, so inspiring to see what they have done together, but the impact that they've had on other families, not only here in Atlanta, but around the country.
Yeah. Well, good for you for taking this on, because I do remember you saying that it's important to you as a track club and as a city to expand your range of comfort or your ability to take on new adventures, something along those lines.
Yeah. So I reference Running City USA. We believe that Atlanta is running Shitty USA. And why do we think that? Well, we've got the world's largest 10K here. We have Atlanta Track Club, which is the second largest running organization in the country by measure of members. We've got 125,000 people who finish our events a year, but we've got more than 400 other running and walking events that happen. We've got great high school track and field, great collegiate track and field, and we have one of the most diverse communities in the country. So we believe that we have the right to stake that claim, but we live this mission every day of trying to reach further into neighborhoods and communities who don't necessarily have access to our events or have had access to our events and our programming mm-hmm. past, so that 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 20 years from now, the rest of the country can look back at Atlanta and say, how did they get healthier? And point to aerobic fitness, running and walking as that lever to get everybody moving and healthier.
Yeah, good for you. So do you have any favorite stories or inside tips for us about these upcoming events?
Favorite stories? It's a great question. I guess I would simply say for us, the events of Marathon Weekend have been a journey, just like those who are going to be participating in it, whether those be the trials qualifiers or those local residents who are running their first marathon on Sunday. The work that you do behind the scenes is much like the work that you do as an athlete. It takes a 24/7 commitment. You have to make yourself mildly uncomfortable all the time, but at the end of the day, it's been a real labor of love for myself and staff here at Atlanta Track Club, and the excitement that seems to be building around this weekend is exactly what we had hoped for.
It seems too, and you've used this term before, that your city and your Atlanta Track Club is very inclusive and wants to keep expanding on that concept of being very inclusive.
Yes. That's a focus for us at a staff level each and every day. I reference the diversity of Atlanta, and Atlanta Track Club is a big part of the conversation around pushing diversity at and in the sport in this region. But we are probably more follower than leader. There are some great running organizations here in Atlanta. So I'd point to the South Fulton Running Partners, which was the first African-American running group in the United States. And they are decades old. There is an organization called BGR, Black Girls Run, which I'm sure you are well aware of, mm-hmm. born here in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. Funny, one of the first conversations, the first meetings I had when I took over at the track club, where I stepped into this role as the executive director, was with Tony Carey, one of the founders. Mm-hmm. And I was new to Atlanta. And one of the first sentences or comments out of her mouth was to me, who she didn't know, the sport is no longer a bunch of old white men where and I'll never forget that conversation. And it is a real privilege to be in a city where racial diversity in the sport is happening. It is so cool to stand at our finish lines and to see
the finishers.
Finishers as they come across the line and see the enthusiasm around the diversity. So it is truly a time, from the time the gun goes off to the time they finish, where everybody is in the same race. And I would put the diversity in the participation in the sport here in Atlanta against any city around the world.
All right. Now, this is a personal question, but I know you're going to have some kind of answer for it. Have you run any marathons yourself?
I have. I ran the 2001 New York City Marathon.
Oh, good.
And it was everything I had hoped it would be in terms of experience. I grew up in the New York City area. So running that particular marathon had some relevance for me. And it was shortly thereafter 9/11. So it was really as New York City was still grieving and working through the impact of that day. So that was my big city marathon, and it was a list sort of thing, and never thought I would do another one until this past year, where I was less successful. I wanted to do something in the running community that would have impact, beyond me testing my own fitness. So I into an event at SunTrust Park, which was put on by Children's Hospital here in Atlanta. And it was a marathon on the field around a baseball field. So 120 times around.
Ooh.
Yeah, the diamond on the warning track. The challenge was I didn't have enough respect for the distance. I didn't care well. And it was called 85 degrees with 90% humidity when the race started. So at 22 miles, I crashed and burned. So I think there's another marathon in my future. I need to redeem myself.
122 or 120? I can't remember which.
I think it was 122.
Oh, my gosh. That's torture.
But the good news is it was flat.
That is good news. And was it Atlanta flat or was it flat?
It was flat. Yeah. We did not run over the pitcher's mound. So it had to be dead flat.
All right. Well, Rick, we are going to be moving into the final kick here. Do you have anything else that you would like to share with us about this upcoming amazing weekend, including the Olympic marathon trials and so much more? It's really going to be a great weekend.
Well, I guess I would start by saying if you want more information on all the activities of that weekend, you can go to two websites. Number one, you can go to Atlanta Track Club's website. That's atlantatrackclub.org. Or you can go to atlanta2020trials.com. And would certainly encourage everyone, if you are here in the Atlanta metro area, come on out, be part of this very special America's Marathon weekend. If you are accustomed to traveling to destination events, I would ask you to give us a chance, travel to Atlanta. We're an easy place to get in and out of, and you will have the experience of a lifetime.
I believe that. And I certainly wish the athletes that are trying out for the Olympic marathon and for the Olympics to have a wonderful experience. And it sounds like you guys have done your stuff. So they just got to have, all the stars lined up that day for them, and we'll wish them the best of luck.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Now, we are going to move into the final kick, and you and I have talked about this before. Are you ready for the final kick?
I am ready.
Okay, so let's start with a favorite local training run right there in Atlanta.
So we have a trail along the Chattahoochee that's called Cochrane Shoals, and it's a 5K wide cinder loop that is as flat as you get here. So between the nature that surrounds it, the footing, and the ease of access, I would say anyone who is visiting Atlanta, check it out. Cochrane Shoals Trail along the Chattahoochee.
All right. And how about a recommended book, research, or video about running that has inspired you?
The first book and the last book that will always come to mind when I think of running books is the book Once a Runner. Anyone who has trained for a significant race, so that where they have a a goal that they've put out there. Take the time, read it. It's an easy read, but you'll read it over and over and over and over again. It's a great book. Once a Runner.
All right. Once a Runner. Another person that you know personally who could speak to our listeners and who would be able to add to the benefit of their running.
I would suggest Olympic icon Gail Devers. And you and I have spoken about Gail a little bit before, but she is such an inspiration. She is focused now on her first half marathon at the Publix Atlanta Marathon. But she's an Olympic icon at the 100 meters and the 100 meter hurdles. What people don't know about Gail is that she started as a cross country runner when she was in high school. And now she is a mom, she's a coach, she's a supporter of Atlanta Track Club, and hopefully she will be an inspiration to a lot of Atlantans to say, hey, get up, get off the couch, and get yourself healthy. So I would suggest you check out Gail Devers, follow her participating in the Publix Atlanta Marathon here on March 1st.
Okay. And now it's your time to give us this contact information again, and any place where our listeners can get even more details about the upcoming trials and the Atlanta Track Club.
Sure. Again, that was atlantatrackclub.org. You'll be able to find information on both the trials and the Publix Atlanta Marathon and every element of both of those events, whether you're a spectator or a volunteer or a potential participant. Or you can learn very specific information about the trials, and that's Atlanta2020trials.com. And we're really proud of the fact that that website, Atlanta2020trials.com, come January and February, will have incredible depth of information on all those athletes who have qualified for this event.
Wow, it just sounds so exciting. Thank you so much, Rich Kenna, Executive Director of the Atlanta Track Club, for talking with us today and getting us all inspired to either participate or to watch or whatever it would be to be a part of this wonderful marathon weekend. What did you call it exactly? America's Marathon Experience?
America's Marathon Weekend.
Okay, America's Marathon Weekend. So wishing you much success and fun with the Olympic trials and the whole weekend. Thanks so much for being with us today.
Thanks again for having me, Stephanie. Very much appreciate it and enjoyed the conversation.
And thank you, our audience, for joining us for today's podcast at Run to the Top. Follow us at the Runners Connect Winner Circle on Facebook by going to runnersconnect.net/FB and subscribe to Run to the Top podcast at runnersconnect.net or on Apple Play, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, etc. And you'll be notified every Wednesday when the new episode is published. Thanks to our editor, Jeremy Nessel, for the magic he performs to make these podcasts happen. I do want to say thank you so much for the extra dog input today, Rich. That was great.
Thanks for tolerating Sydney's.
Makes me think of Jeremy. I wonder what he'll be doing with Cindy's input. And thanks to Runners Connect and its founder, Jeff Gaudette, for sponsoring this podcast. And thank you, each of you, for listening. We'll be back next week with another great interview to entertain, educate, and inspire you as you head out on your running workout. This is Stephanie K. Atwood, your host with Run to the Top. Have a great week of running.
Thanks for listening to the Run to the Top podcast from runnersconnect.net.